and share with us. If you need to borrow a paper Bible, there should be in the seats underneath in front of you. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Bridget, for sharing with us from the Word tonight and reading so well. It's a great joy for me to be here tonight to be able to unpack this particular passage. It's not an easy one for me. I think the last time I preached here was on the topic that Michael didn't want to do, called Do Not Covet. And I think I shared with you at that time, Michael Williamson, that this was the most difficult one for me. And I actually had a mirror up the front, and I said to you that I'm preaching this to myself. Unfortunately, this is another one of these texts that Michael Williams has passed on, that he must have some insight into my life, because I need to preach this one to myself, and I'm being serious about this. This is a difficult topic for me, and maybe some of you might find it a bit difficult as we get into it tonight. So tonight we continue our series on spiritual health. Michael has raised the issue why we aren't going to do 2 Corinthians. How many of you can remember last week's sermon, let alone 11 years ago? Last week's sermon was what? It was about James, wasn't it? And there were 4 words that I do remember that he laid on my heart. We are to listen, to learn, to think, and to do. So let's do exactly this as we get into this particular passage of scripture, and I've titled it True or Right Religion. But let's pray first. Father God, we thank you for the awesome privilege we've had of worshipping you and singing song, to hear prayers prayed from James, from Bridget reading the word, from Michael leading us and the band leading us as well. How blessed are we to sing songs with words that we've sung tonight? But how blessed are we to have your living word here with us? Father, I pray that you'll give us a mind to be able to concentrate now, for this is important. This is all about true and right relationships with you. So, Father, I pray that you'll give us ears to hear, and as we go through this, when you have got something to challenge us with personally, you'll tread on one or two of our toes to say, hey, we need some correction here. So, Lord, I just ask for a blessing upon this time now, and I pray that I might not be a thorn in somebody's side, but an encouragement. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what does it mean to have true or right religion? Is there anything true anymore? Is everything we hear these days considered questionable or fake, as a certain leader of the world suggests when things don't go his way? And what does the word religion mean to the average Australian citizen? I genuinely feel for our society today. As I mix in with the society and the community, I see people who are anxious. They are lacking understanding and clear direction in their lives, and they're desperately seeking truth. This is terribly, terribly unfortunate. There are many who say that there are no absolute truths anymore. Nothing is true. Well, that is, unless you agree with me, then it is true. So I went to a little dictionary on one of my shelves at home. It's the Pocket Australian Oxford Dictionary. That sounds a mouthful. To define the word true, and this is the definition of true: in accordance with fact or reality, genuine, real, correct, proper, in good tune. I have no problems with that definition. However, what is fact? What is real, genuine, and correct? And then there is the word religion. In the average Australian mind, religion seems to embrace just about everything and anything. Well, the dictionary defines religion as a system of faith and worship, human recognition of superhuman controlling power, and especially of a personal God entitled to obedience. Effect of this on conduct. Again, I find this to be a great definition. But unfortunately, many modern thinkers and numerous social media influencers argue that these definitions are overly limiting and not suitable for contemporary times. So why should we be surprised? I was challenged just this morning to consider the words of Paul from Romans chapter 1. Paul reminds us, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice," and the list goes on, and it's terrible. But this is where our world is at the moment. God has allowed us to go to these ridiculous positions. Did you know that there are these groups of people who believe the world is flat? And they're growing in numbers. The world is flat. And with all the evidence we have, no, that's just a conspiracy. See, these minds are so debased, it's just rather disturbing. So prior to tackling the text before us that James and Bridget's just read to us, I wish to challenge you on what we have learned through our study in Romans 8 and look with new eyes as to what James is really desiring us, followers of Jesus, to do. I think this is significant. This is something I did learn and I do remember from Michael and I think Luke's preaching and a couple of the other guys preaching, because Christianity is far more than a religion. Paul declares something astonishing in Romans 8 verses 9 and 10, and he implies that Christianity is not merely a religion, but it is a relationship. That's where we differ to all the other religions in the world. We have a relationship. Let me show you. Listen to Paul. You, that is us, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, well, he doesn't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit, who what? Lives in you. And this is the incredible fact: God is living within us. We have an intimate relationship with the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Seeing, the All-Knowing, and the Sovereign Creator God. It really is something to grasp and hold. He's living within us. And if you think this is amazing, then think on more what Paul has taught us in this particular passage of Scripture. Paul says that as Christians, God has called us, predestined us, justified us, and glorified us. Staggering. But why? Well, there's a reason. so that we will be conformed to the likeness of Jesus because of the relationship we have with God who lives within us. Therefore, because of this astonishing truth, what James is imploring us to do is incredibly important. In a nutshell, James is telling us that how we live out this relationship matters, and it matters big time. For those of you know me as a very simple man. I'm a simple person. So my take on today's text is very simple. It's this. It is good that you hear, but what you hear is of no value unless you put what you hear and learn into action. In other words, we need to be not only hearers of God's word, but also doers. Plain and simple. End of sermon? Not yet. We need to becoming more like Jesus in all we do. This is what being conformed into the likeness of Jesus means. So the question is, why then does James need to use the proverbial meat axe, and for me like a baseball bat, to get his point over? Well, I'm a slow learner, I admit that. But I contend that he desires to rid the church, our church, his church, God's church, to rid the scourge of hypocrisy and its damaging impact on the outreach of the church family to a world that desperately needs Jesus. And our task here at Bulleye is to reach out to the northern Illawarra who are desperately in need of Jesus. I also believe that failure to put God's word into action hurts those who comprise the church family, that's us, in ways that are devastating. So James is confronting people like me, who hear week in and week out, but do not act. So let's now unpack this important teaching. I'm with Michael. I don't think James is harsh at all. James commences this section in verse 19 by saying, "My dear brothers and sisters." He has a genuine love for the church family. And because of this love, just like a mum or a dad who was going to correct a child, he seeks to bring a correction to how his beloved friends are playing their part in their relationship with God and with one another who comprise the church family. And he puts his finger on the pulse and uses three phrases to which the rest of this section of his letter corresponds. First one, be quick to listen. Second one, be slow to speak. Third one, be slow to anger. Well, I'm inquisitive, so I ask the question, be quick to listen to what? Well, James tells us very clearly in the verses that follow. Verse 21, humbly accept the word planted in you. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the word. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word, verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law. So what's James speaking about? He's talking about the word of God that we read daily, or we should be reading daily, and the message of the preacher that we hear week in and week out. So I say to you, just consider, just for a moment, what we have read and heard preached this year. How blessed we have been to have faithful men get up here to proclaim God's word in what I believe is a correct and meaningful and encouraging way. But is it just words that we have heard? Have our ears just been tickled? Oh, gee, I like that one, Michael. Have we just replied with a loud amen at the conclusion of what we've heard? We don't do this in this church, but in the Baptist church, we used to have people sing out amen and hallelujah throughout. It used to be a bit disturbing. Who said that? I used to think when they sang out amen at the end of the sermon, they were glad it was over. Amen. You should have finished earlier. No. The most important thing that we need to consider is, has it made a difference to the way we live out this relationship we have with our Creator God? Have we acted? And this is what James is challenging us with now. I just want to share with you that I have a growth group every Monday morning for men of who are older than me. George is the same age as me, and he comes. Great brother, George. But we go over the sermon because we can be very forgetful. And we sit down every Monday morning and say, now, what is Michael trying to get us to do from the text? So it's a matter of trying to put this into action. And sometimes it's really, really hard. But note this, dear friends, it applies to everyone. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So what does James mean by being quick to listen and slow to speak? Well, I'm a simple man. I think it's pretty obvious, don't you? In our world today, there are a few people who are willing to listen to the teaching of God's word, even in churches. God's word, the Bible, they say is out of fashion. It's irrelevant and it's downright divisive. They say it marginalises and condemns. They say it prevents people from doing what they really want to do. And few people, and I say few, tolerate having the Bible used for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. I say to you, how foolish to take this position. James is imploring us to really listen, and not just hear, but to really listen. My wife says, are you listening to me, Steve? I said, I hear you, but are you listening? Guys, do you have that problem? It's just me, it's probably just me. Not only this, but is he challenging us to put God's word into action? But we need to make sure we are listening and listening intently with keen hearts and minds, eager to learn, and with the Holy Spirit's help, eager to put what we learn into everyday living. Why? For the glory of God. And what of the discipline in being slow to speak? Oh, yes, it's a discipline. The tongue needs to be controlled, as James instructs further on in his letter. I still remember, Steve, your sermon. I've heard it twice now on the tongue. Is it from James chapter 3? Yes, I remember it. So many are very quick to share their thoughts. They want to be heard. Just go to YouTube and you'll hear a myriad of people giving their thoughts on one thing or another. It's pretty sad, pretty concerning. You hear people say, I have a voice and I want to be heard. And friends, even in our local church family, we need to be mindful that our desire to speak and give our thoughts and opinions on a particular matter can cause other people difficulty. Particularly as we consider some of the great mysteries of the Bible, we must remember that the great doctrines of Scripture, the doctrine of election, the doctrine of sin, the doctrine of God's grace, are difficult to understand, and we need the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts and minds of us so that we can understand. And therefore, in our study groups, we need to be sensitive. We need to be gentle and willing to first look very closely at the Scriptures in context, as well as to listen to others. But the question is why? Why do I need to listen? Well, consider the third phrase James uses, because I find it's a really interesting one. James declares, be slow to anger. Now, I've been pondering this, the correlation in becoming angry with being a poor listener to God's word and one who is prone to be very quick to speak. I've been pondering this over the past 3 weeks since Michael gave me the text to consider. Do you have any thoughts? I tend to think that often we are full of our own importance. We want to be heard. And we are quick to give our opinion. We are often proud and have the tendency that we think that what we think is superior to the word that maybe be teaching us and what others may be seeking to teach us or show us. You think about it. Anger can quickly cause us to lose control. And sadly, this little device in our mouths, this one that's wagging a little bit too much up the front, starts to throw out words that cut, that divide and hurt. Particularly in the case of slander. James points out that human anger is at enmity with the righteousness that God desires, and as such, sin in all its forms will explode into our lives. He says in verse 20, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. For me, it's sobering to realise that if you are slow to listen and quick to speak, that somehow human anger will suddenly become part of your character, and I say to you, then all hell can break loose. We cannot afford to have animosity against our Christian brothers and sisters in this church family, and I say to you, we cannot have this animosity in our homes where we reside, with our husbands or wives, our children or whoever it may be. God's righteousness here refers not to the righteousness that is part of his character, but to the way of life in deed and thought that he requires in us. So what do we need to do? Well, apart from being good listeners and controlling our tongue, James says, get rid of all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Deal with it. Do not let it become part of your character. The sin that flows from the tongue in all its forms, whether it be slander, malice, gossip, bad-mouthing others, constant criticism, my goodness, or whatever, will bring countless damage to lives within the church family. And this is where our opposition will go to every time to divide a church family. Through gossip. Through bad-mouthing others. Through constant criticism. Even through malice. And heaven forbid, even through slander. In the life of the church, my goodness. I love that sound. I've been hearing it all weekend. I've yet to see the steam engine. Friends, note how James points us to a great truth. It is absolutely astonishing. He reminds us that the word of God has been planted in us. And such righteousness will become ours if we genuinely accept and have regard to this implanted word. It requires meekness. It requires humility. It requires us to realise just who we are as sinners before a holy God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, our eyes have been opened to the need of a Saviour in Jesus. That's how it's happened. It's marvellous. And not only this, but the Holy Spirit lives within us to help us come to grips with this transformation that is going on in our lives as God's Word takes root to bring about this transformation. But action is required when it comes to the sins that cause havoc, not only in our own life, but in the lives of those in our church family. Friends, we need to humbly accept that God's word is there to bring teaching, sometimes rebuke, certainly correction, and most definitely training, so that righteousness can be a reality in our lives as servants of God who are thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you understood this? Have you grasped what is at stake here? If so, James' next counsel is imperative. Verse 22 states, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. As a Nike slogan says, just do it. Why don't we just do it? Why do we pontificate? Why do we sit down and talk about it? Why don't we just do it? That's why we need James. If you do not put into action what you are learning from God's word, you are deceived. In other words, you are deluding yourself, says James. It has no meaning to you, has no relevance at all. Oh, what a sad case we can be if we fail to just do it. And James pushes on when he, well, bluntly suggests anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And every morning I would get up, I suppose you do the same, get up and look in the mirror but you don't do what I say. My goodness, what's happened here? I wished I could forget. The deterioration is terrible. But of course I don't forget what I look like. That would be stupid. We all remember what we look like. So we had best not be fools here, dear friends. The mirror is the word of God. It shows a person to himself as he is, and really the sight is not pleasing. And the mere hearer gives a glance and hurries off. Oh, it's okay, don't worry about that. They run away from the mirror because of this momentary glimpse. They forget what they saw. And sadly, they don't act on the word. And friends, we need to respond to everything we've discovered and understood from the faithful teaching of God's word, beginning with the gospel. And we hear the gospel proclaimed nearly every single week here. James continues, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Oh, what is James suggesting? What is this perfect law? Well, in contrast to a momentary glimpse, James now shows us an intense gaze. And the intense gaze is not on the law of ancient Israel, it is on the call of the gospel, which brings with it the standard for all our Christian behaviour. Incredibly, this perfect law brings with it what humanity longs for and craves for but cannot find. Freedom. Liberty. Free from the shackles of sin. Liberty to experience the tremendous blessings that abound when we walk with Jesus and experience the love of his Father up close and personal. But note well, dear brothers and sisters, it's not just looking and it's not just hearing. It's just not continuing to gaze intently at God's word. It's not just remembering what you've heard or learned. No, it's more than that. It's taking action on what you hear and see in real and tangible ways. One commentator suggests that the person who looks into God's word seriously is the person who perseveres. We learned about that last week, persevering through trials. He so plunges into the word and becomes so steeped in it that he proves to be not just a hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts. And as James indicates, that person will be blessed not only at the time of judgment, but when he or she does it. This means in the here and now. And for some reason, when we do it, joy overflows in our lives, in our minds. And it might be costly, but joy will be there. Okay, so we are to act on what we hear and learn. I've got it. But how is this manifested in the way we live out our daily lives? Well, James sheds light again, and in verse 26 we read, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Oh, this is interesting. What does James mean by the word religious? Well, I refer back to my thought that Christianity is just not a religion but a relationship. And because of this relationship, there are certain expected acts of behaviour. And one such act preeminent in the minds of James is our speech. Therefore, if you believe you have a relationship with God through Jesus, then you must control your tongue. If you do not, you are deceiving yourself, and your relationship with God appears to be worthless. I told you this is difficult. This is really difficult for me. It's so challenging because I know my tongue and I know the great trouble I have in controlling it. I've been married 50 years this year, a long time. Poor Jan. And I look back over the years, there have been some encouraging words, but my goodness, there's been some discouraging words. And I think about the relationship with my boys. There have been some great times of encouragement through Dad's counsel, but there have been times when I've lost it. Am I deluding myself? Is there any hope for me? Is my relationship with God worthless because of these times where my tongue has got away from what it should be saying? Well, brothers and sisters, this is a warning here as to the dangers of a lack of self-control over the power of the tongue. An uncontrolled tongue is a terrible look for the Christian. It is a horrible witness to your family, to the church family, to the neighbourhood, to your fellow workers, to your school friends or your university brothers and sisters. Nevertheless, I thank my brother over here who reminds me every single Sunday that my sin is forgiven. And what I do now, what I do know is that as I realise this sin and the hurt that I may have caused, I know from what I've learned and heard from my faithful brother here, through the preaching of the gospel, I can be forgiven and have been forgiven. But I need to take action by repenting and seeking forgiveness. Friends, the tongue must be bridled if we are to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. This is our mission here, to show the love of Jesus to the community of the Northern Illawarra. And finally, James leads us in how best to be like Jesus in living out God's word. Verse 27 states, true spirituality. I've taken this from the Passion Bible because I thought it was a good way of putting it. True spirituality that is pure in the eyes of our Father God is to make a difference in the lives of orphans and widows in their troubles and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. I really underline those last words, and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. The implication here is that our true spirituality or worship of God and daily walk with the Lord requires acts of good deeds. Thinking of others, and in particular others who are struggling and doing it tough. This is also an act of worship. And James provides a simple example of as to how the early Christians could demonstrate this transformation that is taking place in their inner beings. He says, think of the widows and the orphans and the difficulties they have in the simple day-to-day matters of life. Think of their loneliness and the grief that they carry. Think of how you can walk with them, encourage them and provide for them. When we were missionaries in the slums of Nairobi, we saw many, many widows and many, many orphans because AIDS had broken out through the nation of Kenya. They were on their own. I had a little boy who lived in the gutter in a street. And Jan had friends that were widows that nobody cared for them. And what were we to do? We were to care for them. But this is just one example of how to exhibit our genuine relationship with our Heavenly Father. There are countless other ways we can shower people with the love of Jesus. These acts of service are the product of our faith, and our religion or our relationship is characterized by our holy lives. So let us never forget that Jesus taught us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And this love requires dead set action demonstrated by honorable deeds as well as the wise use of our tongues as we seek to lift people up, to point them to the ways of Jesus and to seek their greater benefit. I found encouragement from the missionary called Amy Carmichael on the power of the tongue, and she just asked these questions. She says, is what I am about to say kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Ah, what wonderful counsel. I'm going to try this at home tonight with Jan. Is what I'm about to say kind to Jan? Is it true? And is it necessary? I want you to try to do that at home, and I want you to try to do that tomorrow at work or at school or whoever you're meeting up with. I'm going to try it tomorrow with the Bible study group guys. This type of thinking and path of service is at odds with what the world encourages us to do. People are often persuaded to put themselves first and consider their own needs ahead of others. Friends, avoid being influenced by worldly thoughts, behaviours and examples. And I take you to the writer of Proverbs 18, verse 7, because this is pretty powerful. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Oh, I hope that's not you, and I hope it's not me. Listen, learn, think, and do. How is your spiritual health tonight? What we know from all the teaching we have had, even just in this past few months of 2025, should be causing each one of us to be outstanding Christians in the community of the Northern Illawarra. The life of Jesus within us ought to be evident in all our actions and in all our behaviour. So, brothers and sisters, briefly put, the word implanted in us must produce in us acts that evidence our relationship to God and a way of life that glorifies Him. This is true and right religion. Let me pray. Father, this is a bit tough for people like me to be corrected in the use of my tongue, and indeed it's a bit of a challenge for all of us, Lord. Father, help us to see what James is really requiring of us in the way that we live our lives, firstly at home, and then in the wider community, and even here in this church family. Father, it's your desire for us to be the messengers and the examples of Jesus. And therefore, Father, I ask that you'll help us remember the words that we say can cause hurt. And therefore, Father, I pray that we will be a little slower to speak, very quick to listen, and heaven forbid, not quick to be anger, not quick to have anger in our lives. Father, we just thank you for the privilege we've had of sitting under your word tonight. So, Father, I pray that may we each help one another to just do it, and may we bring honour and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being very good listeners.
Yeah, it's been really cool to start hearing from James, and thanks so much, Steve, for bringing that word to us tonight. How about we all stand? We're going to sing again now, our last song. Standing in awe of what Jesus has done for us and God has done through him, and use our tongues to praise his name. So, yeah, stand. Sorry, guys.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me.